With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, my name's Gavin O'Mara and welcome to VocTech Futures. This is episode one of a co-produced live stream series between VocTech, looking at VocTech Futures with FE News and UFI VocTech Trust. And today I'm joined by Sarah Axon. And this has been a really, really highly anticipated episode. The opening question we're going to ask, I've been having people mail me from Switzerland this morning, and all across about three other people across the UK around this opening question, which has been quite amazing. Sarah, can I introduce you into the episode, please? This is Sarah, who's one of the grant managers at UFI VocTech Trust. How are you today, Sarah?
I'm fine, thanks, Gavin. It's great to be here. Hi there.
I'm really looking forward to this show. The show is titled, How Can Digital Technology Support Skills for Work in FE? And this is the opening episode where we're going to be exploring different elements of what how VocTech supports the skills sector widely. But the opening question that I've got for you, Sarah, is one which I've had, when I've mentioned this online, that we're going to have, this is the question, seriously, I've had so many people ask, like, I'm really, really looking forward to getting the answer to this, is what is the difference between VocTech and EdTech? If you could explain that to us, because seriously, I don't think I've had an opening question that had so much of a response before. And so it'd be really good if you could give us the answer to that one, please.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, I'm glad you asked me this because I've got a good definition here. So VocTech is the term that we use to describe the digital tools which are used to teach vocational skills to adults. So skills which will be used by the workforce in the workplace. So basically, in other words, VocTech are digital technologies that support vocational training and help improve skills for work. Well, you could say, well, what's the difference between EdTech and VocTech? Well, if you think about it, EdTech is a kind of generic term which covers all types of educational technologies, whatever they are. Used in all sorts of settings. It could be schools or colleges, universities, for all sorts of educational purposes. And we wanted to find a term which actually defined and encapsulated the specific application of EdTech in a vocational context. Because while the basic technologies are the same educational technologies, but when you're applying them in a vocational context for adults, existing tools often need a bit of adjustment. They need a redesign to ensure they work for adults in a work skills context. Does that help?
Yeah, it really, really helps. So EdTech is technology across all educational spaces from like primary school to university, where we're looking at VocTech is around supporting adults in their learning in the workplace, basically, and supporting vocational technology moving forward and supporting their learning moving forward with technology in vocational space, basically.
That's right. And we think having a term which actually just describes the specific application of educational technologies within the vocational space is important, because we need to differentiate that vocational training has particular needs. And if you, everybody's heard about, everybody's heard, well, heard now anyway, about fintech or biotech. Yep. So why not VocTech? Let's give us a name. Let's actually give it a category, as opposed to being having vocational education sort of subsumed into everything else. Let's show us what we're different, why we're different.
And that's great. And I think if anything out of this episode today, if it can help everyone understand what VocTech is and the difference between EdTech and where it sits within the marketplace and how it supports learners, mm-hmm. then that's ideal. And I think there's a lot of development going on at the moment. I mean, this week we've been doing a live stream a day. And as you were saying before we started the broadcast, there's been a lot of development around additional grants that are coming in to be looking at what is the future mm-hmm. assessment. You know, we've got like NCFE, earlier this week we've had Edge with their innovation fund as well. And I think it's really interesting what UFI is around. I don't want sort of this to be like pluggy or nothing, but like I think it's interesting to also, if we, you know, answer those questions of people who ain't really sort of felt that they've had a while. It's like, what is VocTech? And I've had people miss it. Might be really cool to also cover around UFI, around, because there's different parts to it. Because I know part, you're, you know, a grant manager, so there's different parts around supporting the sector to move into different parts of vocational technology. There's also, there's several parts to the UFI VocTech Trust. Could you just briefly sort of highlight what UFI is about, if you know what I mean, and how it's supporting the sector? And then I want to get again, drill right, get all those things, all the questions people don't think they know how to ask, they're done. Then let's go into all the cool stuff. Is like, what's happening in the sector and what, how can people get involved, basically?
Okay, right. Well, I will, who we are. Well, let's start at the top. We're an independent charity and we've been around for about 10 years now. So we are UFI VocTech Trust. And what are we for? Well, we're evangelists. We believe that it's only through the use of VocTech, so the use of digital technologies in vocational education, can the UK actually scale up vocational learning. And through that, we can tackle the vocational skills shortage. And our aim is to catalyze change, because we can't do this stuff by ourselves, but we can. What we try and do is catalyze change, make change across the UK to achieve a change in how vocational learning for adults is delivered. And let's face it, we absolutely know that we've got a UK skills shortage, and it's certainly making itself now felt right now. And so if there ever was a need for VocTech, it's certainly now. So I'll just run through how we do that, because that's a tall order. So first of all, we're relentlessly practical. We never wanted to be just a talking shop. We want to change the UK's learning landscape. And we want to do that through practical things. So the first things we do is, you say, I'm the UK, the UFI's grant manager, and we grant fund projects which demonstrate how innovation in learning has an impact. And that's, of course, that's innovation in the vocational sphere. We also invest. We've got our UFI Ventures program, and that helps to try and create a market in VocTech. And because we can't do all this stuff ourselves, we work in partnership with organizations such as ALT and AOEC and JISC and all these people who have influence in the sector. And we also use our comms to help build the community and share knowledge, because we know it's not enough to be right, or we think we're right, but you've really got to get out there and promote the ideas, which is why it's so nice to be here today. And most recently, we started a public affairs program. We're trying to influence the decision maker. So okay. Is that enough?
Yeah,
seems like quite a lot to me.
Yeah, because I think what it is, some people see, because they see the UFI, and then it sort of goes into some people I've been speaking to around, like, well, there's the fund, there's the grant, there's the ventures, do you know what I mean? But also there's the support. So I thought it'd just be, we're sort of asking the questions that people really have never sort of been able to ask. Then let's just do it straight away and do it on episode one and get it done, and that's it. So can we talk about the pioneers that are really making things happen in the sector, and maybe sort of give some examples? Because, you know, across colleges, across training providers who are really implementing vocational technology, VocTech, to then be able to really make a difference to their learners, but also to employers to be able to fill those skills gaps.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we funded all types of organisations to demonstrate VocTech in all types of innovative ways, because we fund across the sector. We'll fund projects in FE. We'll fund projects with private training providers. We funded projects with innovative employers as well, because that's the great thing about FE, is that we're looking across the entire adult learning sector. So I'm going to start with some stuff that we've done. We've done at FE, because I know that a lot of your audience are actually based in FE colleges. And there is a whole load of innovation across the FE sector. But I just want to pick out, so I'm not saying it's not happening, I just want to pick out some really good examples that we've been involved with. I mean, for example, Bracknell College. We've put a bit of money in there to help them work with Century Tech to use AI, artificial intelligence, to provide adaptive personal learning pathways for students who are resitting maths and English. And that's a good example, actually, of a product that was originally designed for school children and then had to be reconfigured for young adult learners. I don't know if you know this, but I mean, students doing maths resits may get as little as 1 hour a week of maths tuition. And obviously, they're a really tough crowd. They don't particularly want to be doing this stuff, but they have to. And with the Century, the AI provides personalised learning paths in maths and English. And this stuff is smart. It knows when you're struggling. It can provide feedback, reroutes to alternative content, and it provides all this granular data on how students are progressing. So the teachers then do what teachers do best, which is to provide the focused support. And Bracknell College are really pleased with the progress that's been made and the increased attainment and engagement of their students.
Can we talk? I know you've been doing something with Bridgewater and Taunton, is it? Because I'm based in the southwest, so if I have to go on the motorway and travel up, I go past Bridgewater, I know, you know, there's probably the largest construction project in Europe at Hinkley Point at the moment, and obviously with training learners to be working in a nuclear plant, you can't exactly not prime into the middle of it. This is probably one of the major sort of things that would stand out to me. It'd be a really cool thing around how vocational technology could be used to equip and skill people for the future. Because I have seen the coaches at Bridgewater Services. There are literally about 50 that hold 50 each that just go all day to this project. It's unbelievable. The scale of this is massive. How are you sort of working with Bridgewater and Taunton College around supporting learners with VocTech?
Well, if you think about it, something like what you really get from digital technologies is, from VocTech, is a safe place to learn and also a safe place to fail. Now, the last place you want to fail is actually in a live nuclear reactor.
So, yeah, we'll watch The Simpsons. Definitely don't want that.
Well, exactly. You know, this is we don't want that. Thank you very much. And so that presented them with a real challenge, because obviously you need to really train your nuclear workers, not just in the theory, but in the practice. And so we were approached by Bridgewater and Taunton to see how they could do this. And their idea, which is great, they've been using VR, so virtual reality, to create a safe place to practice skills for the nuclear industry. And they created a virtual reactor. And what they've been doing with this is helping people to practice escape drills. And that's not something that you could easily replicate in real life.
Yeah, no, that's proper cool, isn't it? So that's really interesting. And a lot of our audience are colleges, but we've also got a very loyal sort of viewership, working closely with independent training providers and employers as well. And have you been working with people like AELP on stuff and training providers on delivering different things? Because VocTech will seem to naturally fit with providers, but there's the challenges, isn't there? You know, there's the challenges around how much money is in the sector. This is why the enterprise part of UFI seems really, really interesting. But it'd be really cool to find out a bit more about training providers, AELP, and how it sort of crossed the whole sector, if you know what I mean, of skills.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's funny you mentioned AELP, actually, because we're in the middle, coming to the end of a project with AELP, and I'm actually going to go and talk at their conference later in the month, which is great. And what AELP we're really interested in is how do you provide training that supports people when they're actually within the workplace? So if you like, performance support skills. And they wanted to find a way of doing this, which wasn't just going to interrupt people and pull them out of the classroom, but would actually support them while they were actually doing the jobs. And so the funding that they got allowed them to experiment with a bit of innovation to see how this would work and how this could work. And they did some really nice things. Like, for example, they produced some posters, some health and safety posters, which were animated in that you could put the poster up on the wall and you could then hold your smartphone up and the poster will talk to you because it, you know, the poster comes live and it plays the video through your phone. And if you're dealing with young kind of apprentices, with people who may not be that much engaged, not only does this, it's a bit of fun, but also it engages them in learning where they are. And that's one of the kind of key nuts that employers have got to crack, is that how do you actually support people while they're doing the job? And I know there's a big crossover between providing resources and providing learning. And sometimes I don't think that blur matters. If people need to learn, they will learn. And maybe they don't need to learn at that point, but they need a reference resource, and we can help with that as well. So these the resources are kind of dual purpose. So that's quite an interesting one.
Yeah, that sounds cool. It's so often it's mentioned, you know, like when learner goes into education establishment, or even if they're in work-based learning in the workplace, that, you know, the technology sort of is a bit of a downtime for them, when it should be quite the opposite, isn't it? It should be a time when they're really able to stretch, experiment, fail, and learn, isn't it, really? The pandemic is affected all of us. It's been a really long 18 months and it's still rumbling on. You know, this, if you look at the figures on schools now, there's just how many young people are now catching this horrible virus. But it seems to have been a bit of a catalyst for speeding up technology in particular, because I was saying to someone the other day, before the pandemic, you'd say, can we just catch up on Zoom? And they'd be like, what on earth is that? Now, you know, it's just like, yeah, sure, that type of thing. And it's, everyone has adapted to technology in different ways in their working day. When we're talking about vocational technology and being, you know, work-based and enabling that, how has the pandemic sped things up? And what do you see the future to be for vocational technology coming out of this next stage of the pandemic? Hopefully it ain't going to last forever. And then what is the next stage going to be?
Okay. Well, certainly, I mean, everybody knows that, you know, the pandemic just forces shift. And suddenly, you know, we went into lockdown really, really suddenly, and necessity became the mother of invention, to coin a cliche. You know, because during lockdown, learning and teaching could only be delivered by technology. And we actually ran an emergency funding call to provide immediate help to 11 FE colleges and some 11 other training providers, which helped them make that transition. And we had some great work and creative problem solving emerged. And nobody's saying that what was produced quickly in an emergency was the greatest 11 ever, but what it showed was what was possible, and there's no going back from that. And there are a few things to say about this. I mean, one of the things that this sudden change made abundantly clear was that CPD for staff is an ongoing issue, and we see lots of people doing a lot of work on this. I mean, for example, post-pandemic, we're working with ALT, the Association of Learning Technologists, to create a network of FE VocTech professionals, and that's called Amplify FE, so I'm going to give them a bit of a plug, which already has over 500 members.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. I think, what do you see? Because the pandemic did speed it up and did make it all a bit rushed to be able to get stuff together in time, did highlight that we should be should have been adopting more technology in the first place. But what do you see the outcome from that being moving forward? Because it's people keep mentioning new normal and what is, you know, how do we sort of, you know, learn from the what we've had to this go through, but also, you know, move it forward in a positive way around CPD, move it forward in a positive way around delivering, bringing vocational technology and bringing vocational to life for people. You know, how, what's the sort of the next steps and what's the next exciting stages if we were to look at the horizon and what the future could be?
Okay, well, before I come to the kind of like kind of exciting technologies, I want to come back to the people, because I think that the pandemic really exposed the inequalities in learning provision and a whole range of difficulties faced by those who are furthest from learning. And that became really clear, the inequalities that exist within our system. And one of the things in there is the confidence and the motivation to learn for people who are those furthest from learning. So we're currently running a challenge fund looking for projects that will try and tackle confidence and motivation issues. And I don't know if you know the book How People Learn by Nick Shackleton-Jones. And in that, I'll give him a plug. How People Learn by Nick Shackleton-Jones. And in that, he talks about how people only learn if they care about what they're learning. So learning needs to matter. And he calls this the affective context model. And I think that's a really important concept now. So if we're trying to reach the people who are furthest from learning with new VocTech projects, we need to work with people who really understand in a deep way, not just what the barriers are, because we all know what the barriers are to learning, but what actually matters to these audiences and what motivates them. And I'm really hopeful that we can crack that. So in terms of what's new, we're trying to get VocTech to new audiences in new ways. And one of the ways we're doing this is through these challenge projects. And we're also, and this is ambitious, we are hoping to get VocTech, and these projects, we're hoping to use design principles, which is obviously something that's used when you're creating digital learning in the corporate sector. It's well known. But I'm not really sure, we don't think this has been done particularly in the by smaller training providers, and it will be a new step for this type of project. So these are going to be quite risky projects for us, working with new audiences.
Yeah, so no, that's really cool.
In terms of tech, well, yeah. The wizzy future will be AI will undoubtedly help unlock VocTech in colleges and for other learning providers. I mean, if you think about how ubiquitous AI is now when you're online, I mean, AI mediates almost everything. You know, everything you know, Google, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, they all track everything you hover over or click, and they can really build a picture of what you're interested in. So, of course, AI will play a great role in learning in the future, which we are beginning to see. I mean, I talked earlier about this project with Century Tech, because AI can create personalized learning and at scale. Do you know how do you ever use Duolingo? You've seen how you get these push little notifications, nudge learning. It all encourages you to, the software encourages you to learn. And that's a regular program, which is just based on regular practice. And if you don't log in for a while, you get little messages encouraging you to return. And AI will do the more boring tasks, like Bolton College's chatbot, Ada,
yep,
will answer many. You probably know about this. I mean, there's another one of projects that we've done in the early stages.
And it's amazing. And that's been sort of a project that's been going on for like really quite a long time. And Ada's amazing, where it can sort of pick out behaviours of people and be able to tell if there's a bit of an underlying problem where, you know, tutors, lecturers wouldn't be able to spot it and look at the overall bigger picture to be able to bring in sort of support early. That's really exciting as to what the future could be around AI and aid. It's amazing. I think it's something which should be rolled out across all of the sector, really. And it's, and it's been there for a while now. I remember talking to the team about that. It seemed like a couple of years before the pandemic, you know, and it's just like how things have progressed and moved on, you know, is really, really cool. I'm interested in your thoughts on on push technology for what that could mean for CPD in the sector, because that's interesting that you're mentioning around sort of nudge, you know, AI and sort of nudge technology and push technology. What could that mean for the future of vocational learning, and but also for CPD? Because sometimes we can have all the technology in the world, but if there's a skills gap between the educator and the technology, that's a bit of a problem. Do you know what I mean? It's just like you ain't going to sort of move forward. Like we had a stat in the middle of lockdown one, which was something like, all stats you can just make up on the spot, can't you? But this was something about 70% of all teachers didn't know what EdTech was. But it was like 30% of all teachers didn't know what EdTech was, but 70% wanted more money for it. And it's just like, well, what does that mean? It's just like, I don't know what EdTech is, or I don't know what vocational technology can take it into vocational. How can we educate the educators with different parts of technology and moving things forward with things like, nudge technology and sort of pushing things to people to be able to continue?
Well, there's so many answers to this, I don't know quite where to start. I think, first of all, people are getting much more familiar with this stuff. This stuff is not foreign anymore. It just becomes part of our normal world. You know, people expect to have reminders from Amazon pushing out stuff. Okay, you bought this. Maybe you'd like that. We get this kind of like nudging from commercial organizations all the time. And as I was talking about Duolingo, you get nudged notifications from that. On one of the projects we're working with, National Numeracy, that's also got some nudge technology built into that, where people, if you haven't come back and practiced your numeracy for a while, it will just send you a helpful little messages. And this kind of principle, I think, is not just kind of accepted as say as part of our daily life, and you could absolutely, and it's all AI driven, you could absolutely see how this can really help within a CPD program, helping you to come back and relearn, and also driving spaced practice, which we know is one of the key. If you're going to actually learn stuff, you've got to practice it, and you need to find ways of doing this, and Ada does this very well, to craft the message in such a way where it isn't really annoying, but just comes back. And because it's come to your phone, it's right there with you. And use that methodology to keep kind of gradually pushing out the learning that we want people to have.
Yeah, that sounds cool. We're nearly at the close. I could talk to you forever, Sarah, around what the future could be and what we're happening right now. But I think there's a unique opportunity here that most people may not normally have, where we're talking to you in your sort of day role, being like, you know, grant manager. And after they sort of heard today, they may well be thinking, you know, I've got this amazing idea for, you know, helping people with their vocational learning or helping people to be able to move forward. How do they get involved with future funds or grants or sort of in the enterprise side of things? What sort of things are you interested in? What sort of basically constitutes being innovative? What institutes being something which, you know, you guys want to engage with and be able to help and support? And how does it go forward? Because this all seems to me to be very, very collaborative. You work with different colleges, you're working with different partners. What do people out there that watch this go, I've got this burning idea. How do they engage with you? How do they sort of move this forward? Because it's meant to be helping everyone, help all, you know, providers, colleges, independent ITPs, learners. How do they move forward with this with you?
Okay, well, first of all, we're a small organization. We can't solve all of the structural and organizational problems within FE. I mean, so, but what we are is that we are independent, and we have the view across the sector. Obviously, people, if you like, come for the money and stay for the expertise and the knowledge sharing. I mean, every year we look at what our priorities are, and then we'll set up and run a grant call. We're not kind of like open door, so we'll work out where can we best this year try and catalyze some change, and that's what we're about. We're not about, you know, we're not government, we're a charity, but we want to leverage the change and the innovation that we see in the sector. So we'll run a funding call and So if people just want to sign up for our newsletter, they get told when the funding calls open and what we're looking for. And then we take it from there. So people can sign up for our newsletter. Our ventures investments are always looking for products to invest in. So that is a kind of like people can just contact ventures via our website. And again, that's a kind of that's a small but beautifully crafted fund. So people can contact ventures via our website. So sign up for our newsletter and hear about our funding. Go and have a look at our resources. And in particular, we've got a directory of all of the kind of innovative projects that we've been involved in over the past 5 years now. So we're building up a really big catalogue of a directory of vocational learning projects, VocTech in action, and there's a big list of them. Go and have a look.
Yeah, what would we've got after this is finished on the broadcast, it's site-wide now on FE News, and we'll be on catch-up if you're catching us on catch-up, but we're also going to have what we call a legacy or catch-up arc, and what we'll do, we'll add in the link to the directory so people can see what other projects you guys have been doing, if it helps, because this whole idea is just about to help set the scene for the series. Is we're going to be then exploring different elements where vocational technology, VocTech, has been sort of helping different sectors and unlocking things for learners and unlocking things for staff, and just like you're saying, making a change to the skills gaps that are out there via use of VocTech. Our time is gone. And Sarah, thank you so much for today. And thank you everyone for joining us today. I hope that's been helpful. I hope those people that were messaging me first thing to say, I really want to know what VocTech is, that we answered that for you today. And join us on the rest of this series. That was thank you time. Thank you to Thomas and to Sarah for today from the side of UFI. Thank you, because it's totally co-produced. And thank you to Kelly. Thank you to Leah. Thank you to Finley, making the magic happen in the background. And thank you to everyone for joining us on this journey. And all we want to be able to do is just to be able to help all of those learners, help those employers, help the providers to be able to deliver on the skills gaps that we've got in the nation at my very start. Go into a shop, try to get some fuel. It's very stark at the moment, so the only way forward is to do this together. So thank you everyone for joining us today, and we'll see you really soon.